Thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Our God is good. Amen. Our God is good all the time. Amen. He's good when you're going through the valley of shadow of death. He's good when you are on top of the mountains. He's good when you're crying, and he's good when you're smiling. He's good when the garage door don't work, and he's good when the garage door works. He's good when the truck works, and he's good when the truck don't work. Our God is good all the time. Yeah, yeah. There is no other higher name than Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega. Nobody, not in heaven, not on earth, not on the sea. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that our Lord Jesus, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Well, happy, happy, happy Mother's Day to you all, for all the ladies who bore children, all the ladies who brought up children. Happy, happy Mother's Day. God bless you and keep you ever, ever so strong. I want to talk about my mama for just one second. At the age of 5, my mama led me to Jesus Christ. She taught me to serve Jesus, to love Jesus, and to honor Jesus Christ. She taught me to serve people, to honor people, and to love people. A lot of times when I go places and they ask me what version I use, I've changed over the years. I now use the New King James Version. But sometimes to throw people off, I tell them I use Mama's Version. And they'd be like, that don't exist. And I'm like, it does for me, baby. Every single page of the Bible has been translated and transcribed into my mama's life. And she showed me the love of Jesus Christ. And that's an inheritance that's eternal. I thank you, Mama, and I love you. God bless you. Today we're going to talk about another mama. Her name is Deborah. Her story is found in the book of Judges. It's the 7th book from the very beginning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. So as you turn there, we're going to study chapter 4 and chapter 5, a story of one woman, the power of one, who made such an enormous difference in this world. I was in the cardiac cath lab, and I had an 80-year-old gentleman who was dying on me. He was a smoker, he had cancer, he was frail, and by the EKGs, I knew which artery it was that was clogged. Lo and behold, we go in, we're looking at the artery, it's 100% down, we got seconds to save his life, we get the stent in, I'm having a hard time, I'm getting the stent, a stent is a metal mesh that opens up the artery. And we get it there, we deploy it, and I'm expecting the most beautiful picture. And we take the picture, and I look at it, and I'm thinking, this looks like Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the Vietnam War and Katrina and Harvey put all together. Baby, it is not pretty. There is a perforation. The artery has burst. It's leaking like crazy. I've got seconds to save this man's life. I call for a covered stent, which covers the hole that I made. And so we're going, and I'm pushing and pulling and twisting. I can't get the stent there, and I have to pull the stent out. I call for another stent or another balloon so I can at least try to clog up the hole that I made. And as they're getting it, I step back for one second, and I said, Lord God, strengthen my mind and strengthen my hands. Now, this is not a 911 phone call. I call on him before, I call on him during, and I call on him after. I love him before, I love him during, and I love him after. I call on him and love him when I cry. I call on him and love him when I laugh. I call on him when I succeed. I call on him when I fail. I call on him all the time because he loves me and I love him. And today, you need to know, no matter what you've done in the past, he loves you. And no matter what you're going to do in the future, he loves you. He's madly, madly in love with you. I stepped back in to the scene. It took one split second. And I said, let's take a picture so I can put the balloon in the right place. And I took the picture and I'm like, shut up. The artery had completely and spontaneously healed its own self. We were ready to do what we had to do, but my God, oh, he's off the chain. I looked up to the heavens and I said, oh, you are good. In fact, I said, you are the bomb. Oh, he's so, so good. I don't deserve it, but he's such a gracious, gracious God, letting me know who's in control. Our God, he is good all the time. We come to the book of Judges. Y'all don't need to go to see no rated R movies. Just read the book of Judges. Uh-huh. It is entertainment, people. Yes, yes, yes. We'll find out. So we're coming to the fourth chapter of Judges. When is this? It's a period of 400 years. Joshua and the Israelites cross the Jordan River. They come to the land of Canaan. They take over the land of Canaan. They don't kick out all the enemies, but they take over. Joshua dies. The book of Judges begins. It is about 10 or 1450 BC. And the whole book of Judges lasts for 400 years all the way to 1050 BC. We have 12 judges, 6 minor, 6 major. They're all men except one. Her name is Deborah, and we'll study her today. You go to chapter 4, verse 1. It says, when Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Who in the world is Ehud? He's the second judge. He was a left-handed man. He stuck a sword in a bad king's belly, and the sword went in, and dirt came out, and the boy was dead. So that was Ehud. And when Ehud did what he did, the land had rest for 80 years. And the people of Israel came back to him. When the land has rest for 80 years, everybody's like calm, cool, and collected. They got their little Cadillacs. They got their little parties. They got their nacho cheese. Everything, everybody's so happy. And they forget God. In prosperity, people tend to forget God. They put him aside. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for getting me through the wilderness. But right now, I'm happy. And they don't need him. And so they push God aside. And it says that the people of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And in verse 2, it says, so the Lord sold them. Now, the word sold in the Hebrew is macher. It's not like you buy something. It's like giving over to death. He gives them over to death. He sells them, not because he's an angry God, because he's a merciful God and a loving God, and he wants his children to walk with him because that's the best place to be, is in the palms of his hands. And that's what he wanted, but they didn't want him. So he sold them to the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan. Who is this guy? He lives up north, 15 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, northern Israel, and he's a bad, nasty king, the king of Canaan, and he reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera. This is a bad commander. And so Jabin has a commander named Sisera who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. Man, those are some varsity level words up in here. So they live up there, and Sisera is a bad, bad general. And the children of Israel, in verse 3, cried out to the Lord. And Jabin had 900 iron chariots. And we'll find out why that's a big deal in a minute. And they oppressed Israel for 20 years. Israel was in a state of apostasy. They were in a state of godlessness. They were in a state of, I don't want God. And you know, when somebody has a heart attack and they come to me, we try to fix the heart attack, but I want to know why you had the heart attack. Are you smoking? If we cut open your belly, am I gonna see 12 Krispy Kreme donuts up in there? You let me know. I want to know what you've been eating, what you've been saying. You know, I want to know all these things. And so we got to find out why. Why is Israel in this state? We find out in chapter 5. If you turn to chapter 5, verse 8, it says, they chose new gods. Seriously? The God of the universe, they let go, and they go to Baal. Baal is this dude that has a spear on one side, and if he were to throw it, this God, who is not a God, if he were to throw it, there'd be thunder, lightning. And he has a club on the other hand. If he were to smack it, there'd be thunder. He is the God of rain. They started worshiping this man. What happens when they do that? In verse 6, 5, 6, it says the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. They shut down the highways. You couldn't get anywhere. It's like taking the 405 and, well, that's a bad thing because 405 don't go nowhere anyway. But it's like taking the 405 and stopping all traffic and saying to you, get out of your car, these thugs. Get out of your car. They take your wife. They take the kids. They rape, pillage, and take your car over and get out of here. And they throw you out. That's what they were doing on the highways. So you had to go to the Sepulveda, which is not good either. But... So the Sepulveda, and so they were pillaged everywhere. It says in verse 7 that the villages had ceased. They couldn't have marriages. They couldn't have parties. They couldn't get together with families. They would come and pillage them and rape them and hurt them, and they had to go to the city walls. Even that wasn't safe. The time was such a bad place. In verse 8, among 40,000 Israelite men soldiers, there was not one spear and one shield. They didn't have armor. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to dabble in sin? Go. Dive. Taste it. Eat it. Go deep into it. And you will find out that it will not give you freedom, but it will give you oppression. It will give you a headache. It will give you a heartache. It will break down the family. I'm telling you, the wages of sin is death. Israel was finding out, and they cried out to God. In steps our heroine, Deborah. Now, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. What does Deborah mean? Deborah in the Hebrew means bee, B-E-E, like a bumblebee. Bees are fascinating creatures. They got like little receptors on their head, like 3,000 of them, huh? And they can smell an orchard that's 5 miles away. They got little wings that flap 200 times per second. I tried that at home. I was like, 5. And then I did again. 7. That's all I could do. 7. 200 times. Why? Because they can fly anywhere. But when the beehive in the tree gets to 140 degrees, it's okay. But if it gets to 141 degree Fahrenheit, it starts to melt. And these little bees use their little wings as an air conditioning system to chill down the inside, to bring the temperature below 140. And you wanna talk to me about evolution? Huh? I got one word for evolution. Stupid. As a man of science, I'm telling you straight out, stupid. And for the teachers in America, I have a warning for you. If you're teaching our kids about evolution and telling them there is no God, you better read Matthew 18:6. For those teachers who are leading our children astray, away from God, it would be better that they would put a millstone around their neck and drown in the depths of the sea. That's not a warning from me. That's a warning from Jesus. Wake up, America. I slap evolution in the head. Grace. Oh, get back now. Let's get back. She's a prophetess. Now, you like, okay, cool. She's like, no. Look, we're talking about a male duck today. If you see a woman judge, you wouldn't say, oh, that's a lady. You would say, Your Honor. Because we respect her for her position. It doesn't matter if it's a he or a she. We respect the position that she holds. But then, no. It was a male-dominated system. There was no woman to be a judge. They just like, shh, don't talk. And so this lady in the male-dominated system steps up. God picks her, the power of one, because he's going to do such incredible things through her. And you're going to find out that you too are Deborah today. So in a state of darkness, there's light. In a state of death, there is life. In a state of godlessness, there is a godly woman who God picks. A prophetess, a judge. People would come to her from all over Israel, and they would talk to her. And she had her own little palm tree. It was called the Palm of Deborah. Jesus must love the palm trees, because in Psalm 92:12, it says, the righteous will live and thrive like the palm tree. Do you know the palm tree is the only tree as it ages that it is more fruitful? It's amazing. God wants you and me to be fruitful. That is, you know, when they had problems, they would go and talk to the village peoples and the elders. And they would say, my brother stole my cow, he stepped on my chicken, whatever. And so, they would fight about it. And then the elders, they could come up with a solution or not. They're like, let's go to the Ninth Circuit, which is not a good circuit, but let's go to the Ninth Circuit. And so I said that out loud, huh? My God. Ninth Circuit, and let's appeal. So they would go to like their own tribe, like the tribe of Dan or Issachar or Asher or Benjamin, and they would talk there. He stole my chicken. He stepped on my. On and on. They don't like the verdict. They go to the Supreme Court. Guess who is Supreme Judge, baby? It's Deborah, and she is under her little palm tree. That's the Supreme Court. And they come to her and they talk to her, and she judges them not out of bribes, but out of the word of God. That is righteousness right here. This, I'm holding up truth. I'm holding up the word of God. This is Jesus Christ and his word. It will not die. It will not cease. It will not be buried. It will always rise. And you can step on the rock, Jesus Christ, and rise up with him, because he is going to do great things through you. So we have now Deborah in verse 6 called this dude named Barak. Who's Barak? He is the leader and the commander, 5-star general of the armies of Israel. And she calls him. And she says to him in verse 6, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? This is not an option. This is, has he not commanded you? He knows this. He's heard God talk to him. Has he not commanded? Where are we, kids? In 6, yeah? Has not the God of Israel commanded? Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. We're going to find out where Mount Tabor is in a second. Go to Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men. She's telling him, the Lord has told you, now I'm telling you, go and take 10,000 men, soldiers from the sons of Zebulun, and then I will deploy Sisera. I'm going to lure the enemy. I'm going to pull him over to you, and he's going to come, and he's going to be at the river Kishon, and I'm going to deliver him into your, listen to what God is, I'm going to deliver him into. Let's put up the map for a second, and we'll show you where we're talking about. So we're talking about Deborah is in the middle of Israel. She's in Ibrahim, and that's where she's judging. This is the Sea of Galilee up north. The Jordan River comes down, and then in the south you have the Dead Sea. This is Bethlehem, where our Jesus Christ was born. And here's Naphtali and Zebulun, these two tribes that Barak is supposed to go up, or Barak is supposed to go up and get 10,000 men. This is Hazor, where the bad king Jabin lives, and where Sisera lives. This is where the battle is going to take place, in Megiddo. And this is where Mount Tabor is, right beside Megiddo. So this is where the war is going to happen, and the right here is where the Kishon River is. So all this is happening in the north of Israel. I wanted you to see that so you can get a taste of what we're doing. And so she said, I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said in verse 8, well, if you go with me, I'll go too. But if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go. Really? I'm going to be nice. Yeah, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to give this man the benefit of the doubt. Because if you read Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, Moses told the Israelites to go to war like this. When you go to war and battle and see an army and chariots and horses greater than yours. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, will be with you. When you are to go to battle, the priest shall come forward, and he shall address the army, and he shall say, "Hear, O Israel, today you are going to battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. Do not give way in panic, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you and to give you great victory." Perhaps he was thinking in his mind that, no, the priest should come forward, that you're the judge, you're the prophetess, you come forward and you tell the man to go. And Deborah is so gracious. You know, some leaders would say, "Look, man up, come on, let's go, let's roll, go do what you gotta do." But she's so gracious. She's such a kind lady. She's such she gives of her heart to people, and that's why she was so loved. Because you can lead with an iron fist, or you can lead with love. And that's our Jesus Christ. He leads with love. But one day, he gonna get the iron fist out. Get ready. Get to Jesus today. Today is your day of salvation. So she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless," in verse 9, "there will be no glory for you in this journey, but the glory will go to a woman," and she's not talking about herself, "and God will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman." And so Barak went up to Zebulun and Naphtali, and he got the 10,000 men, and Deborah went up with him. In verse 11, you hear a verse, and you're thinking, "God, why'd you put this in here? This doesn't make sense. The flow is broken." There's this dude named Heber, the Kenite. Kenites, Moses' father-in-law was Jethro, and he was a Kenite. And so the Kenites lived amongst the Israelites, but they weren't Israeli peoples. And so he is like an informant, and he goes and runs to Sisera, and he's like, "By the way, the people of Israel, they're gathering in Mount Tabor, and they're going to go." And Sisera's like, "What?" He gets his 900 iron chariots, and he's going at it. He's going to come and defeat these Israelites. And so they go to Mount Tabor, and 900 chariots are there. And in verse 14, I love this verse. Deborah said to Barak, "Up." I love this word. In the Hebrew, it's kum. K-U-M. It means arise, stand fast, fulfill your destiny. It's like, this is our house. This is our time. This is our God. We don't serve Baal. We serve Jehovah Jireh. We serve Jehovah Shalom. We serve Jehovah that goes with us today, tomorrow, and everlasting. That's our house. Up. Kum, arise. That's Deborah, the power of one, talking to 10,000 men and inspiring them to arise. And it says, so Barak went down the mountain Tabor to go towards Sisera. That's suicide. You got 900 chariots in the city of Megiddo and in the valley of Jezreel, iron chariots. You got 10,000 Israeli men. They have no spears. They got slings and stones. That's all they have. And you're going to go against the Stryker tanks of that day, the F-35s. You're going to go against their Tomcats. Are you kidding me? No one can win. And Deborah says, "Up, arise, kuma, let's go." And these men actually start going down the mountain. I believe that God will find out in chapter 5, God did something amazing as they were running. I don't think they saw it when they were running down. It's like, you remember in chapter 17 of Luke, the 10 lepers, they come to Jesus. "Jesus, can you heal us?" And he's like, "Go, show the priest." Now, the lepers turned around and they went in faith. They were not healed, but they heard Jesus go. When he says go, baby, go. And so they went. He's talking to some of y'all today, some of you little Deborahs, go up. And so they went, and as they went, they were like, "Shut up, look out, I'm healed, I'm good." And that's when they were healed, not when Jesus said go. I believe these men, before they saw victory, went. to see the goodness and the grace and the victory of God in the land of Megiddo. And as they went, it says in verse 4, the Lord rose out of Seir in Edom in 5:4, chapter 5, verse 4. He came out of Edom, that's Jordan, modern-day Jordan, and you'll see how prophetic this is. The earth trembled, there was an earthquake. The heavens poured, the clouds poured water. It's dry season, people. It doesn't rain. Otherwise, they wouldn't take out the iron chariots. And all of a sudden, the Kishon River vomited all this fluid because the rains, torrential rains, came down and down and down. And all of a sudden, the iron chariots got bogged down, and they couldn't move, and the horses went crazy, and the soldiers jumped off, and they started killing each other. Only God. You can bring your F-35s. You can bring your Tomcats. But when you face Jesus Christ, you're going down. This is so prophetic. It is so unreal that this is a prophecy, because when it comes down to the rapture, which is the next event on our calendar, when it comes to the rapture, Jesus is coming to take his people's home. And just because you and I attend church doesn't mean we're going with Jesus. If you got the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going home. If you ain't got the blood of Jesus Christ and you don't know him as your personal savior, you ain't going home. And if you get stuck here, baby, I'm sorry for you. Tribulation is a bad time. And at the end of the tribulation, 7 years, people are going to get 666. Whoever gets it will never go to heaven. But at the end of the tribulation, there will be Armageddon. Guess where it's at? It's in Megiddo, the same place where this is fought. And Satan and Antichrist and Sisera and all his little demonic people and all the world and the East Coast and China will come to that land to destroy Jesus Christ. They can bring their F-35s, they can bring their tanks, but when Jesus comes down on a white horse in Revelation 19:19 with a sword in his mouth and the word of God, they are going down. It's all prophecy. It's all prophecy. It says the stars fought in verse 20 and 21. The stars fought. It's going to be a celestial war, a celestial war. And so here we go. They're running down, and all of a sudden there's a deluge. There's rain, and the iron chariots are stuck, and they lose, and Sisera runs away, and Israel takes out every single one. By the way, if they had 900 iron chariots, you know what that means? That's 5% of their army. That means they have at least 20,000 men in their army with shields and swords and tanks and F fighters. Oh, God. One little sling, one little stone can take them out. And so here we go. They run away, and Barak starts pursuing Sisera. Sisera runs away. And where does he end up? He ends up in verse 17 in the tent of Jael. Now, Jael is the wife of the man we met in verse 11, Heber. She's a Canaanite, and he runs to her. Now, men should not be going into women's tents. The only person that can go into the tent is, number one, the husband, and number two, the father of this lady. But this guy, he's running. He's tethered. He is a commander. He's got the clothing, but he's bloodied, and he's running, and he's getting there, and he's hungry, and miles of rain and torrents, and he gets to the tent. He knows where it is because it's under an oak tree. It's a specific oak tree, and he says to her, please, please, can I come in? Please let me in, and she's like, come on in, my lord. Come on in. And he's like, can I have some water? And she's like, she gives him milk. Now, milk is a special thing. It has an amino acid that's called tryptophan. And tryptophan is a precursor or a building block for a neurotransmitter in your and my head called serotonin and melatonin. It helps people go to sleep, especially if it's warm milk. Now, that is not medical advice that I just gave to you. Do not be writing to me and say, Dr. Sam, I have insomnia, and I tried milk, and it didn't help me. I'm mad at you. What did I do? That was just medical knowledge, people. I didn't give you no prescription. Can you imagine? The word of God is so beautiful. Tryptophan, you can't. It's going to trip that boy out. So he's like, milk does the body good, y'all.
I wish I had a little Krispy Kreme right up in here. I said that out loud. Oh, man. That's messed up. Even cardiologists mess up. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
So he's there, and she's like a Bedouin lady, yeah? At that time, Bedouin ladies, they were the ones that put up the tents. Oh, they were real good with the nail, and they were real good with the hammer. And so she lays him down, and she puts a little blankie over him after the milk, and he's like, oh, by the way, before you go, if anybody comes up there and they say, is he here, just say, no, I'm not here. And she's like thinking, like, now why is this general hiding? And she looks at him while he's snoring, and she's like, oh, that's a pretty little head he got. And so she just gets the nail tent peg. I'm telling you, you don't need no rated R movie. This is good. She comes over here, and she looks right at his skull. Now, the skull is an amazing thing. It has a place in it called a pterion. And if we can put up the picture of our skull, it has a place called the pterion. It's made of a lot of bones. Yeah, you got the frontal bone and the parietal bone, the sphenoid and the temporal bone. But when they come and intersect and meet at one place, it's called a pterion. And that is one of the weakest places in the skull. And I'm thinking, JL got this thing, and she put it right on the pterion. And she's like, bam! And this thing, this nail, goes through the pterion, one temple, through the brain, out to the other side of the pterion, and into the ground. And the Bible is so funny. It said, and he laid there dead. I'm just saying, it's, of course, hello? It's like, and he laid there dead. My Dr. Sam version, if you in bed with a nail in your head, baby, you're dead. Stop. Oh, man. Oh, I'm telling you, this is the book of Judges. It's beautiful. And so, you know, some people get really mad at God. They're like, I can't believe your God. He killed all these Canaanites, and he killed Sisera. How dare a lady take this thing and throw it, and you guys celebrate. I'm like, shh. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. This man, if you read chapter 5, verses 28 to 30, he was the ringleader of a sex trafficking operation. Every time they plundered, they took two women for one man, and they raped those women that were 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18. And you want to save a man like Sisera? You crazy. The Bible is the Bible, and it is the truth, and it will take out those who are dirty, nasty, stinking, filthy, and trying to tear up the land. The Bible is just. Those people who are the Canaanite, they don't know what they're talking about. The Bible is true through and through all the time. And God is good all the time. And so here we go. He's dead in the head. And Israel grew stronger, it says. And Jabin and all the nasty kings went down. And it's so beautiful in chapter 5, verse 31. It says, and the land had rest for 40 years. It is good to walk with God. There's like a peace like a river when you walk with God. There will be torrents and there will be the boat shaking and people will be screaming, but baby, if God is with you in the boat, ride it. Just ride it. There's rest in the heart. He will give perfect peace. He whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in him. You know, some people will trust in iron chariots, and some people will trust in horses, but we're gonna trust in the name of our God. Father God, we just wanna thank you for your grace and mercy. We wanna thank you because we're gonna trust you from now on. Father, I ask that you would empower my loved ones here wherever they are listening, from Argentina to Australia to Africa to Armenia to America. Father, there are Deborahs in here, boys and girls, men and women, that want to do your work. It is time to rise up. Kuma, arise. Pour that spirit into my loved ones as they listen. Pour it into us, Father, and let us do your work. One man, one woman, one child can do great things for you, Jesus Christ.